Hey everybody, this is Aletha Williams here. I am conducting this podcast as a class assignment, would you believe it not? But you know me, I love my podcast, so let's get started. I want to break this podcast down into three sections. The first section we're going to talk about, how do we discern, witness, interpret, and affirm our relational pattern and archetypal character structure. I'm going to say it again. How do we discern, witness, interpret, and affirm our relational pattern and archetypal character structure? That would be the first section. The second section would be, how do we interpret and contemplate our personally significant archetypal and myopoietic features, gifts, and challenges, as well as their empowering, creative, and healing potential. Let me say it again. How do we interpret and contemplate our personally significant archetypal and myopoietic features, gifts, and challenges, as well as their empowering, creative, and healing potential? And finally, we're going to end this podcast with, after contemplating and envisioning what our archetype is and what our myopic features are and our gifts and the challenges that come with it, and knowing how we can empower ourselves to become creative and healing through it all, how can we articulate our role in our creative life and creative expression and work, healing, and journey towards wholeness? That is a mouthful. Yes, it is. But let's start with the first phase. I like to say we always start with the end in mind. That is a famous quote I got from Wayne Dyer way back in 2000, and I have never forgotten that. He always says, when you are stuck, begin with the end in mind. What is it that you want? Focus on that unwaveringly, and everything else will come into your path. So let's do that. So the end in mind I want to talk about is that last word phrase that we said in the third section of what we're going to do at the end of the podcast, journey towards wholeness. Let's define what wholeness is in the first place. For me, wholeness is the process of letting go, allowing change to come or occur, and to allow growth in the midst of all the change to allow us to go up into a much higher level, or as I call it, your higher self. Or I can say wholeness is the state of forming a complete and harmonious unity. When I am whole, I feel no resistance coming into my heart. I feel no struggle in my head. I don't hear the devil on either side of my subconscious and conscious telling me what to do or not telling me what to do. Another way to talk about wholeness is everything is complete, perfect, unbroken, uncut. Well, I don't like that. That was from the dictionary. Nothing is perfect. Many things are broken and many things are uncut. So my version is the process of letting go, allowing change to happen, and allowing growth to take place. Many times you will see in definition about mindfulness and wholeness, you see wholeness mixed up with wellness. There's a big difference. There's a big difference between wholeness and wellness. Remember, I said wholeness talks about the process of letting go, allowing change to occur so that flow or growth may occur in your body or in your life, in your spirit. I like to say wholeness also talks about mind, body, and spirit. Those three elements that are inside of our bodies that is important to us to achieve an equal amount of burden or equal amount of respect or reverence. Not one is dominating the other. So, let's talk about the fact that wholeness can be broken down with being defined as mental wholeness, spiritual wholeness, and physical wholeness. Mental wholeness takes the broken parts of our life and put them back together, perhaps in new ways to create change and growth. To me, mental wholeness defines the integration of mind, body, and spirit, as I said. So, when we talk about spiritual wholeness, we're talking about a state of consciousness and awareness of one's place in the universe. For me, spiritual wholeness comes when I know that as a part of the universe, I am a part of the collective. I am not one, but I am of many. And we'll talk about that as we go along. Physical wholeness is just talking about how you eat, exercise, and take care of the physical body. I talk about the difference. I said I was going to talk about the difference between wholeness and wellness. Well, wellness is something completely different. There is a diagram out there that's called the six dimensions of wellness that talks about six different things that make you well. Your physical. How are you focusing on your physical wellness? Your social wellness. Social support is very important. How much social support are you getting? Your intellectual. How much are you allowing yourself to grow from learning from other people, other things? Your spiritual. How mindful are you with practicing hopeful events, such exercises such as meditation, yoga, walking, movement, dance? Emotional. Emotionally, how are you feeding your desires and your passion? And the last one is occupational. So you have physical, social, intellectual, spiritual, emotional, and occupational wellness. Is it the same as wholeness? No. I think you take wellness and you put it into wholeness. I believe wellness is a very physical act that you have to do. And as a result, it goes into the bubble of wholeness. So if you want to find out more about the six dimensions of wellness, that was created in 1976 by, Bill Hatler of the National Wellness Institute. So if you go to the National Wellness Institute online, you can find that. So without further ado, let's go on with the first section of this podcast, where we're going to ask ourselves how to witness, interpret, affirm relational patterns and archetypical character. So when we talk about relational patterns, we're talking about how we have relationship with anyone, any humans, any animals, how we relate, communicate, react, integrate, cohabitate, or not habitate. That we want to see what the patterns are. And unfortunately, guys, before we're even 3 years old, it has been ingrained in us, this behavioral belief system of how things should be. So by the time you're an adult, you have developed this child mind interpretation of things that should have been interpreted as an adult. So as you're growing up, you have this child mind interpretation of things. And as a result, your relational patterns that you're seeing are nothing but a copy of a behavior that you learned from someone, i.e. most of the time, family. If you were not with family, adopted, whatever, if you were adopted or if you stayed in a adoption system, whatever the environment was, the behaviors that you observe there is what you turned your interpretation and belief system into. So for me, my relational pattern has always been, and I've been observing. So when we talk about witness, we're talking about observing. As I witness my relational pattern is, I am very open and trust into people. And as a result of my openness and trust in, people take that as me being kind and taking that kindness to the fullest extent of abuse, where people actually abuse that kindness, start using me, abusing the kindness, and sometimes even betraying me. And I've noticed that patterns throughout the years, especially after my last event, where I had a significant shift in my life, in my wellness, as well as in my wholeness. And because of that, I'm able to create and create new belief system and destroy that child mind interpretation of what relationship was to be about, how open I should be when I have relationship. And in the end, I learned that, yes, I can be trusting and open to people, but be aware of how much I give. I don't have to give people everything. I can just be present. As long as I am present with someone in the conversation, I don't have to give. And I always thought I needed to give in a relationship. Always give. And not even what I realize is I was given so much to everyone that I wasn't given to myself. And once I realized that I had emptied my cup of my own soul and left nothing for my own soul to ascertain, I woke up, and that's where the growth in wholeness came from. And so we talk about the pattern. So for my pattern was I gave too much and received little. So therefore I needed to receive more from myself, give myself more than to give out. And that was my lesson in my relational pattern. The relational pattern is also connected to archetypal characters. And, you know, first of all, I want to go back and stay on relational pattern. There is a diagram that talks about how when we interpret information, how we interpret it based on belief system and then react to it. So it starts with endorse freedom. So we start with the autonomy to talk, to converse, to be in a space with someone. And then it goes over to, do we accept or do we trust? Then it goes up, do we love and enjoy? Then it goes up to, do we help or do we disclose? Do we dominate or assert oneself? Do we criticize or refuse? Do we attack or resist? Or do we just ignore and defend? So this is like a pie. And the pie explains to us how we create these patterns. And so as I was talking about mine starts with the first part of the pie at the very bottom of the 6 o'clock position. I endorse freedom. Then I go to the right, which is, I would say, the 5 o'clock position of the clock. And I accept you as you are, and I trust you. Then I go up to the 3 o'clock position. I enjoy you. Then I go up to the 2 o'clock position, and I help. And sometimes I disclose too much about myself. But then I go up to the 12 o'clock position. I don't dominate. I never dominate a conversation or a person. I assert myself as who I am in the conversation, in the relationship. Most of the time, I try to help and give too much. You go over to the 11 o'clock position, you either criticize or refuse. In most instances, I refuse to criticize. Then you go to the 9 o'clock position. Do I attack or resist? Neither occurs for me. Then you go down to the 7 o'clock position. Do you ignore or defend? Most of the time, when things happen, when I set boundaries, and that's a completely different podcast, I end up defending. I don't like ignoring people. So understanding your relation pattern is so important. When we talk about archetypal, I love it because I see it all the time as a tarot card reader. Some of the archetypes shows up, like the magician, like the jester, or the trickster, or the king and the queen. Those are archetypal, mystical characters that was created from years ago. And when we talk, but there's so many other ways to describe archetypes. I like to describe archetype as water, sun, the colors, as a circle, as numbers. So let's start with water. For me, an archetype of water talks about the unconscious death, the unconsciousness, death, birth, or resurrection. When you see things affiliated with the sea, you talk about death and rebirth in a spiritual way. For tarot cards, that is. When you talk about rivers are affiliated with baptism, transitioning from one phase to the next. In the cards, when I see sun, the sun is either rising or setting. If it's rising, it's creating energy and it's giving you enlightenment, wisdom, vision. If it's setting, it represents death. I also look at colors in the cards. If the cards is reversed, I look at what colors are showing up and popping up. For instance, red represents blood, sacrifice, violence, passion, disorder. Green talks about growth, sensation, hope, fertility, association with death and decay. While blue talks about highly positive, associated with truth, religion, feeling, security, spirituality, and unity. Black talks about darkness, chaos, mystery, the unknown, wisdom, the unconscious, evil, and melancholy. And finally, white talks about positive aspect, death, terror, the supernatural, unconditional love, and the blinding truth. When we see circles in tarot cards, I tend to look at it as wholeness. Like if you see the mandala talks about spirituality, unity, psychic integration. If you see an egg, that reminds you of the mystery of life. If you see the yin and yang design, talks about the opposite force, where yin is the female and yang is the male. How about the Ouroboros? It's the snake biting its own tail. It talks about the eternal cycle of life. Then sometimes you see the serpent. The serpent represents energy and pure force, evil, your libido, corruption, sensuality, destruction, and wisdom. And finally, when I see numbers in cards, you talk about the main numbers. 3 talks about spiritual awareness and unity, the Holy Trinity. 4 talks about the circle of life, the 4 seasons, or the 4 elements, earth, air, fire, water. 5 talks about the 4 limbs, the head that controls them, the 4 cardinal points, plus the center. And finally, the number 7 talks about the most potent of all, signifying the union of 3 and 4, the completion of cycle and perfect order. So, you know, when we talk about archetype, we can even go further and say the wise, you know, there's an archetype that talks about the wise old man who is the hero, who's here to help achieve his goal, or the demon lover, which is the figure of the devil, the woman, the great mother, or the terrible mother, or soulmate. Or you can talk about the hero or the heroine. That talks about who's saving somebody. So you talk about, am I being a saver? Am I being a giver? Am I being a caregiver? Am I being a victim? All those things are archetypes. So when we talk about archetype, we really can dive into so many different elements. I want to introduce one final part about archetypes. Archetypes can be also affiliated with the seasons, where fall talks about tragedy, spring talks about comedy. Winter talks about irony. Summer talks about romance. And all this is coming from originally Jung and Freud's theory way back when, where Jung's primary contribution to mysticism was about his theory of racial memory and archetypes. He didn't coin the word archetype, but he has been archetype has been connected to his theory. And Jung just took Freud's theories of personal unconsciousness and expanded it more into his theory of racial memory and archetypes. So I completely love that. So let's go back and see if we answered the first phase of our podcast. Were we able to identify relational patterns? Again, we talk about the patterns that we see coming up in relationship that often cause us to lose relationship, walk away from relationship because it's not working. So that becomes a pattern as you notice it. And so identifying what patterns are really hitting you, for me, what shows up for me is my ability to trust people, because people take my kindness too open and to as a weakness. And so allowing myself to set boundaries allowed me to protect how I showed up in a relationship. And that was the most important thing, setting boundaries, knowing what my values and belief systems were, and really enjoying how I speak to people. So going back to that circle that talks about the pie, endorsing freedom, accepting, trusting, loving, enjoy, help, disclose. I'm going to show you and send you that diagram if you guys need it. But that's so important to understand. And, you know, what's holding us back? Is it lack of trust of something that is not true? So identify whether it's true or not. And for me, I was able to identify what was true and what was not true, what was a story and what was the fact. And using that, well, once I identified that, I associate with what pain it created in the past, present, and future. And for me, in the past, trust hurt a lot because I was betrayed by those closest to me. But in looking back, even though I set boundaries, I needed to act on my boundaries. And so that was where the pattern changed. Once I started acting on those boundaries, I started gaining more respect for myself and walking away from the situation. In this instance, in the communication pie, where I didn't ignore, I just walked away and defend. And in the future, that same thing about trust is, as long as I know what my belief system is, and my boundaries are, and my confidence in knowing that I will speak my truth and be authentic, but at the same time act on my boundaries if they're crossed, I know that the pain is gone. So because of that, I associate this change and shift in me with a massive pleasure of gratitude. And with that gratitude, my brain is now able to rewire this belief system of relationship about trust. And one of the things that is really good for anyone is, once you recognize a pattern and you're trying to change it, if you can stop yourself as the habit is coming, and you stop yourself and say, you know what, I'm going to go to the bathroom for a second or something. Just give me a second. And when you go to the bathroom, you're resetting yourself and allowing yourself to out. You're going to act on those boundaries. You can go in the bathroom and celebrate that you stopped yourself from the old pattern, and now you're going to go move forward with a new pattern. So celebrate it. So identify, associate what pain it creates in the past, present, and future. Associate with massive pleasure because of the change. Celebrate it. And so, guys, that was the first segment of the podcast. I hope that gave you some lights to what was going on. And without further ado, I'm just going to give it about a 5-second pause before I go on to the next. All right, guys, I am back. So let's talk about this. Section 2, how do we interpret and think about our personality with the significant archetype that we are, and any myopoetic features, gifts, and challenges that are empowering our creative and healing potential? Guys, what the heck is myopoetic? Huh? Well, myopoetic talks about a history surrounded in mystery. There are three primary features of myopoetic narrative: a mystical view of space and time, a belief in internal reoccurrence of cycles of events, and the absence of any notion of the history capacity of man to fashion what we can progress. For me, guys, when I think about myopoietic, I think about my spiritual growth and my spiritual awakening. I'd say my spiritual awakening started when I developed cancer about 17 years ago. I started connecting to my mind and started meditating, trying to see the cells and destroying the cells, but connecting to a higher, to God and to His love and to His power and saying, I can put your power inside of me. And that was when I realized that He was already inside of me. I just needed to connect to Him from my heart to Him. And as my spirituality started growing, there were other people that showed up in my life or started showing up. As I realized, as I thought about something, I wish somebody else could come in and help me with this. That person shows up. I wish I could have a better view of this and have this turn out this way. People, things started changing. And as I realized that when I manifest and I focused on what I wanted and had a grateful attitude in my heart, I realized the universe was having my back and really helping me. So this strength that I gained empowered me to become more creative with what I want. And it started helping me heal myself. But in turn, I started healing people. Now, I see myself reading tarot cards and able to connect to other people's energy fields within the speed of light, I call it. Within the speed of light, I'm able to connect to somebody's energy and able to listen to their higher self and the spirits and the angels that are speaking from their spirit's connection through me to them. And so I am able to discern for them what the message is, because sometimes people are just not ready in their mind, or their mind, the muscle in their brain is not ready yet because they haven't practiced mindfulness or meditation enough to get to that point where they are in the sweet spot where they can actually hear the spirit speak to them. And some people may never get there. Some people don't have that gift of discernment, of hearing and seeing or contacting the spirit. So I feel as a healer, that is one of my gifts and one of the things that I know is healing not only for me, but healing for other people when I do that through tarot reading. I also discovered that when I start painting my trauma, when I start pulling it out of my heart and putting it on the canvas, I start intuitively see features in the painting. And as I started doing this, I started hearing voices speaking to me, and also was able to discern the story that was being written across that canvas as I started creating it. And it became so magical that every time the painting was done, I can look at it and say, that's affiliated with the time when this trauma occurred. But as I'm speaking, there's no pain, nothing but gratefulness. Because as I did that painting, the pain was transferred and was replaced with this big grateful emotion. Thus, therefore, rewiring my mind to the event. And so, guys, I really think when we talk about archetypal, for me, my archetype is to always be of service. And to understand that being of service doesn't mean that you have to give all the time, but also to give to yourself. And that's one of the things I started doing. Started painting and healing myself before I realized I couldn't heal anyone if I couldn't heal myself. And so I started healing myself. And as a result of healing myself, I am now able to help others heal. And also understanding when I need to stop giving to out my energy and taking rest or respite for refreshment, renewal of myself and my spirit before I go back out and give my energy or power. So that is it, guys, for the part two. I am again going to pause for about 10 seconds this time, and then we'll move on to the last phase of the podcast. I am so excited that you guys are still with me. Hang in there. Hey guys, I am back, and yes, we are at the end of the podcast. So after thinking about what's going on with your archetypes and your relational pattern, can you tell me, envision or be able to even articulate what this is, how to create this in your life in expression ways and work ways and healing and journey towards your wholeness? I'll just talk about me. You guys can talk about you afterwards, but or alongside when I'm talking, but I'm just going to use me as an example. I really feel that my artistic whole work, my ability to do Reiki, my ability to really be highly sensitive empath, to be able to be mindful about that, to be able to be grounded and be able to send or receive energy has really impacted my life on how I view myself towards wholeness. In order for me to be whole, guys, I have to be able to protect my spirit, my energy field, my source. But before I can even do any of that, I have to know what they are. I have to identify what is truth or what is false in my viewpoint and my belief system. So rewiring or recreating or reevaluating my belief system was very important to my journey towards wholeness. And once I was able to identify my top 10 values, what things would make me upset or sad or happy, what were these values? I took those values and was able to develop my belief system. So, you know, does everybody need to change their belief system? I actually think we do. I actually think we do, guys. Because again, I said, by the time you're three, your system, the environment created your belief system. And so therefore, it's not yours. You're on automatic. So I really think everyone needs to go into their internal mind and observe the relational patterns and archetypical characters, such as, are you trying to play the hero? Are you trying to play the victim? Are you trying to be the magician? Are you trying to be the trickster? Are you trying to be the devil? What is your role in playing in life? And then identifying, how are you showing up in communication and relationship? And how is that affecting your wellness as well as others' wellness? And I'll tell you guys, if you are affecting somebody else's wellness in a toxic, abusive, or negative manner, then you are not whole. Because when we talk about whole, we talk about the universe and the collective. And the collective says, if one person is not okay, then we're not okay. And in order for us to have this wholeness viewpoint, we need to look inside of ourselves and see what doesn't work and allow ourselves for growth and maturity and rewiring and rechanging our behavior to make it better. So for me, guys, I really appreciate all the work that I've done, but it takes work. It takes practice. It won't happen the first time. The brain takes 21 days to rewire a behavior. So you have to be open and willing to identify, see what hurts, replace it with a new story, a new belief system, a new value, and then celebrating the moments when you take action to those areas. And I strongly believe that having boundaries is one of the key elements to it. So without further ado, guys, I really believe that knowing who I am, being a person of service, I love giving of service, but I now realize that the best person to give service to is yourself. Put on your oxygen mask first, heal thyself, and then you can be able to be okay and able to help others heal. So this is Aletha Williams here on this wonderful creative journey of wholeness. And I challenge you to really look at your relational patterns, what archetype represents you, how you define your wellness, your wholeness, and your part into the world and into how you interact with others as well as your own mind, body, and soul. So this is Aletha signing out. Thank you so much. This was a beautiful conversation. I hope you got something from it. If not, I wish you well. Anyway, thank you.